We're going to study from Hebrews chapter 3 this morning. There is a scene in the Aladdin movie where he reaches out his hands and he says, "Do you trust me?" to the girl. And then she trusts him and she goes with him. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. That's really the theme of Hebrews chapter 3, I believe. And it's in the context of entering into God's rest. The nation of Israel did not enter into God's rest until after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And the writer of Hebrews uses them as an example of those whom we ought not to imitate. And instead of not entering into God's rest, he says in Hebrews 4 and verse 11, we should be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And I want to make this point in the lesson, but I'll make it now since we won't come back to this verse. You'll notice in this verse that there is an emphasis on being diligent, means hard work, effort, striving, and an emphasis on the possibility of falling like they did. In the context here, I believe he's talking about losing their salvation. I don't see any other explanation for him saying that we need to be diligent lest we fall the way they did through the same example of disobedience. They fell in the wilderness. They did not enter into the promised land. They did not enter into God's rest. What other interpretation could we give this verse other than to acknowledge that he's saying there is a possibility that they would fall from their salvation? I just don't see the point of any of this exhortation that he gives all through chapter 3 and 4 unless that is the right interpretation. And I just thought I'd make mention of that because, of course, there's a lot of folks who believe that once you're saved, you're always saved and that you cannot lose your salvation. They've been taught that, and that's why they believe it. And they've heard it over and over and over again, but it doesn't hold up under the scrutiny of the Scriptures. I'd like to think maybe it were so, but it's just not. Even they can't be sure that they're the ones who will always be saved. So really what it all comes down to when all is said and done is, are we trusting God in His promises? That's what it always comes down to, no matter what you believe about once saved, always saved. You have to trust God in His promises in order for you to have any assurance or confidence that you are saved, that you will go to heaven. But that's what it's going to take to enter into God's rest. So if you look in Hebrews chapter 3, I think you'll see the emphasis there. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, he says, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. And then in the verses following, he talks about the stewardship of Moses and the sonship of Jesus. And in verse 6, he says, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. And then he begins an exhortation in verses 7 through 11. He says, therefore, in verse 7, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So having given them the truth that they are partakers of a heavenly calling and reminded them that they are of the household of God, he's exhorting them not to harden their hearts like the people of Israel did in the wilderness. So just stop for a moment and think about how the people of Israel hardened their hearts in the wilderness. And look at what he has to say in regard to how they did not know his ways. So they heard God, but they did not respond to God. They hardened their hearts. They were ungrateful to God. They were complaining constantly to God. But think about the one event that caused them to miss the promised land. What event was that that caused them to miss the promised land, to cause them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years? That was when Moses sent out the 12 spies. 10 came back and gave a bad report. And then the people listened to the ones who gave the bad report instead of listening to Joshua and Caleb. Joshua's and Caleb's message was, the Lord says that we can go in and conquer the land, so we can go in and conquer the land. Simple as that. And the 10 spies said, no, we can't. There's giants in the land, and the cities are fortified, and there's no way that we can go in and conquer the land. And all the people wept, and God became very angry. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. What did God have against them? What had stirred up his wrath? Why was he upset with them? From a human standpoint, can you and I not understand how they felt? From a human standpoint, there's giants in the land and the cities are fortified. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way that we're going to go in there and take that city or those cities and that land. From a human standpoint, I can relate very well to how they felt. So God doesn't apparently respect that at all. Why not? Why doesn't God respect their feelings on that? Why doesn't God understand that they are scared and that they're nervous and fearful about going in with these giants in the land and these great fortified cities? And the only answer I can come up with is that he's upset with them for not trusting him. Period. They're not trusting him. And he says, they did not know my ways. And so it always comes back to God. It always comes back to knowing who God is in our walk. And they hardened their hearts because they had seen God's ways. It's not that they didn't have opportunity to see God's ways. It's that they hardened their hearts. They were ungrateful. They were continually complaining. Daryl talked about this on Wednesday night, and I'm going to add another idea to his thoughts that he shared with us so well on Wednesday night. He talked about Romans 1, about how the root of all sin is ingratitude. They did not give God thanks or honor Him. And as a result of that, all of these sins took place. And that's the history of man. Man is guilty of all of these terrible sins. And Daryl went down through the list and showed how some of these sins are absolutely heinous and horrible that he mentions there. And all of them start with ingratitude and a failure to honor God, according to Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to add another idea to that. A failure to trust God. And that is the root of falling away. A failure to trust God. So if you read with me a little bit further here, we'll see in verse 12 and 13, he says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Let's focus on the word unbelieving there. The word belief means trust. Wherever I see the word believe, I hear the word trust. Believe, if you look at it from a biblical perspective, means that we trust God and therefore we obey God. So whenever you hear the word believe, it's very right to translate it trust and obey. But the primary concept is trust, because you wouldn't obey unless you trusted. And so trust becomes the primary concept in the word believe. And so he's talking about an evil, unbelieving heart here. He's talking about a heart that stops trusting God. Beware, brethren, he says, lest there be in any of you an evil, untrusting heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. When you stop trusting God, you're going to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You are. You will be. It's inevitable. It happened to them. They fell in the wilderness. It happens to everyone. who stops trusting God, they fall prey to the deceitfulness of sin. I don't know what everybody's lives look like in that scenario, but I can tell you this, that there are people who stop trusting God and they think they're okay, and they're not. They're not okay. They want to believe they're okay. They even want to say, you know, I'll get to heaven. I'll be all right. Somehow it'll work out. And they're deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. They are falling away because they're not trusting God any longer. Now, why aren't they trusting God? Well, there can be a lot of reasons, but God says it's because you don't know my ways. Why don't you know his ways? You're hardening your heart. You're thinking your own thoughts. You're thinking your own will. You're not focused on God. You're not submitting and humbling yourself before God to know him. And so as a result of that, you don't know his ways. And therefore, you don't trust him. And therefore, you're going to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And sin can manifest itself in any number of ways to harden you, to deceive you. But the bottom line is, the root problem is that you're not trusting God. Trusting God is the only way to enter into his rest. And down, look with me in verses 14. Actually, let's read 12 through 14 all together again. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. There's God's plan of once saved, always saved. We hold firm our confession, our boldness, our confidence firm to the end. We trust God till the day we die. And we do not cease to trust God. And we live by trust in God. And everything we do because we trust God. And we learn his ways and we think about his will. And we trust his instructions. And we submit and humble ourselves because we trust him. So now we get really to the meat of the issue here in verses 15 through 19. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. He sums it all up. They were not able to enter because of what? Unbelief. How do you know that? Understand that? How do you think of that? How do you translate that? They were not able to enter because of a lack of trust of God. As a result of their lack of trust of God, they were disobedient. As a result of their lack of trust of God, they hardened their hearts. They didn't fear God. They didn't trust God. They didn't know God because they chose not to. And they were deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. And they fell in the wilderness. And why? Because they did not trust God. And that's what has come back to me so much in my thoughts this week. And now I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my daughter. I don't know what I'm going to say, to be honest with you. But I thought it would be good to talk about this with all of you as a practical application of this very fundamental point from God's Word. You see from the text, you see from the Scriptures what I've been saying. God is very much focused in on their failure to trust Him. They did not know His ways. And because they failed to trust Him, they fell in the wilderness. All these other things, all of their sins, all of their actions and behavior, all stemmed from their failure to trust God. And the devil used those, all of those circumstances that they were in to deceive them, and they fell because they didn't trust God. So let's focus in on that, and let me use my daughter as an example. She was here this week, and most of you know this, but not all of you know. My daughter fell away from the Lord about 3.5 years ago, just after we moved here. And now, at this point in her life, she is simply one who doesn't think much about God. She admits that. She's very, very honest about it. And she just doesn't think about it. It's just not a concern for her any longer. She's not worried about it. And when we tell her all we want is for her to go to heaven, she doesn't even think in those terms. And she doesn't mind us even talking with her about it. She's very pleasant and very kind and very accepting of our faith and our belief and our desire for her. And it was a very blessed week from that standpoint. So what we did was we took opportunity to talk with her privately. Jenny talked with her privately for a couple of hours. And I talked with her privately for a couple of hours. And basically what Laura is saying is that, you know, I don't even think about God any longer. Now, it wasn't, as Daryl said on Wednesday night, something that happened all of a sudden. This had been going on in her life for many years. She never really, or if she had, she stopped trusting God. And that's the root of the issue. That's why my daughter fell away. Make no mistake about it. You can have all kinds of explanations, and you can have all kinds of reasons and circumstances and things that happen, and they're different for everybody that falls away, but the root is always the same. A failure to trust God. Because I don't trust Justin. I don't trust Daryl. I don't trust Bert. I don't trust Aaron. I don't trust LJ. I don't trust any of you. That sounds pretty mean, doesn't it? But you know what? I love you. And I trust you as far as I can trust you. But I can't put my absolute trust in you. You're humans. You might make a mistake and it might hurt me. Or I might make a mistake and then you make another one and I've caused hurt on myself and you've contributed to it. I don't know. What I'm saying is we make mistakes as human beings. So I can't put my faith and trust in you. I can only put it in God. God's the only one I can trust. He's the only one, and He is the most important one. And He's the one that's going to sustain me to the end. And no matter how badly things go in my life, or whatever circumstances there may be, or however many people may hurt me, or cause me harm, or however much problem I bring upon myself by my own bad behavior, whatever it may be, I'm not going to stop trusting God. And that's what I told my daughter. I said, when I leave this life, I couldn't get it out then and I can't get it out now. I want you to remember me as somebody who was all in. 100%. All in, no matter what. All in. And I said, that's why we're having to deal with you the way we're dealing with you. You think we like this? You think we enjoy this? The only reason that we're treating Laura the way we're treating her, in that sense, all I'm saying about that is we're not going out and partying with her. We're not socializing with her in that sense. We're not just pretending that everything's fine. The only reason that we're like that is because God says so. And I trust Him. I trust Him. So I don't like it. I don't understand it completely. I can try to understand it. I can get my head around it somewhat. But I don't really understand it. But I'm going to obey Him. And I'm going to trust Him. And I want you to remember me that way. Because when I'm gone and you can't come back to me, you can come back to God. You can always come back to your Father. And I want you to remember me as an example of the perfect Father, the one that you can always come back to. And I said, when you're old, if you haven't come back to the Lord and you're old and you start getting sick and you start realizing you're that life is not going to last forever, and that really gets a hold of you, I want you to be able to come back to your Father and know that He will receive you. I want you to trust Him. So I appreciate your good attention this morning. Here's another thing I say to Laura, and I say it to Joey, and I say it to all the guys down at Lottie and to all of you. When you mess up, you can trust God. You may not trust yourself, and you may not trust your brethren, but you can trust God. And He will receive you, and He will forgive you, and He does love you. And all He wants for you to do is trust Him. And you'll obey Him if you trust Him. You'll submit to Him if you trust Him. And so you're going to get to heaven by faith, by belief, by trust. And don't ever forget that, because that's the only way any of us are going to get to heaven. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, a child of God, I think you got the right message, at least in terms of what God wants of you. And if you really do trust Him, then what you'll do is you'll just submit to Him and obey Him. And even if you don't understand exactly everything about it, you'll say, I understand what He wants me to do, and I trust Him. And so that's what happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter told the Jews that they had crucified the Christ and that now He's Lord in Christ. And they were pierced to the heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so those that received His word were baptized. And 3,000 were added that day. How much did they understand? They knew what God told them to do. And they trusted Him. And so they obeyed Him. Now, from that point on, of course, they were going to have to continue to trust God. And that's the decision that you need to make for yourself in your obedience to the gospel. Am I ready to trust God? Because if you are, then you need to come forward this morning if you're not a Christian and be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. And if you're already a Christian and you have sin in your life that you know about, then you need to repent of that right now and trust God that He'll forgive you. And if it's of a public nature or you need the prayers of the congregation or whatever you may need, then take advantage of this opportunity right now to let it be known as we stand and sing.